2 Sundays ago? Probably not.
If you tell me what
Acts 7?
Oh yeah, I was there.
You were there? Oh, you're the one I'm picking on then. Acts 7. They weren't there. Andy. Were you here? No. Still don't know. All right, so what happened in Acts 7? You have to tell us to a little recap, just so that we know what's going on. What, you have to read it?
Stephen died.
All right, in a nutshell. That seems weird, right? But it is exactly what happened, right? So we've all heard of Stephen, right?
I actually know a deeper thing about it.
A deeper thing?
Yeah.
All right, so we're all listening.
He was one of the people stunning me. Whoopsies, I guess my truck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen was one of them. And then he went around preaching to other people, and not just Jews. He also went to Gentiles and stuff. And like the Jewish leaders didn't like that. And he pretty much said, "Why are you getting mad at me for this? Like, because y'all killed the Jesus anyways." And then they got mad at him, and then they stoned him.
Okay, so everybody's caught up, right? All right, so we know what happened in Acts 7, so we're going to start off in Acts 8. And it's Acts 8, verses 1 through 3. Haley?
Regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation.
They laminated him, right?
As foresaw, he made havoc of the church, entering every house.
So a lot has happened, right? In those 3 verses, a lot happened. So I'm going to start out with Saul, right? So when back in Acts 7:58, we see that the witnesses, a.k.a. the people throwing the rocks at Stephen, it's spelled Stephen. I don't know why everybody calls it Stephen, but it's called Stephen, isn't it? But it's Stephen. It's. I know, but it's pronounced Stephen. Lay their clothes at Saul's feet. Right? So whenever you guys are throwing things, like throwing a baseball or throwing a TV or a very deadly rock at somebody, whenever you guys do that, it's a little bit easier to throw, don't you think, if you don't have a big jacket on or a robe, right? So the logical thing is you remove the outer garments and you're in your T-shirt, so you can really chuck that thing, right? See? All right, so you'd be more comfortable, right? So this is exactly what they did. And then Saul was there to make sure all the clothes were safe. Because nothing's worse when you're murdering somebody that somebody steals your clothes, right? It's just rude. What is up with people? And we'll find more about Saul in Acts 22:20. So if you want to turn. turn there real quick. We're not done in 8, but 22:20. It is up on the board, but if you want to turn there. Andy. All right, so we find out exactly that. He was guarding the clothes, right? It says Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. So Saul's approval was an active one. It wasn't, oh, I guess so, if you guys have to. You know, it was an active one. He might as well have been one of the ones throwing the rocks. Stephen's blood was on his hand, on Saul's hands, just as well as everybody else. Then we see that there was a great persecution. Now, great doesn't always mean good, right? It just means big or huge. So there's a huge persecution, and Saul made havoc of the church. So what is havoc? Another word for chaos. Yeah, exactly. So Saul was kind of like a bull in the china shop. You know, just breaking everything and happy that he broke it. You're just like, ah.
A bull in a china shop? Oh, a bull.
A bull.
Have you
He's trying to get out gently, but he breaks everything. But, yeah, Saul's not trying to get out gently. He's trying to just break everything. A bull? No, a bull. B-U-L-L. Oh, bull. Oh, I get it. Bull and a China, because they're China. Next time I'll do a better analogy. Thanks for calling me out.
No, I just never understood that.
Okay. In Acts 26, 10 through 11, you ever get that moment where it's just like, Deegan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just making sure. Can you read that? Would you please read that?
Jerusalem, and many of them stained the saints, I shut up in the prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and then they were put to death. I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every word, and compelled them to blaspheme.
Exceedingly enraged
against them. I persecuted them even to
foreign cities.
Foreign.
You did good. You did good. You did awesome. You did awesome. No, there's big words, different words. So Saul didn't just put Christians into prison, right? We see from this, what else did he do?
He put them to death,
right? It said that he cast the vote against him, meaning that, oh, should this guy die? Well, he's on violence. Yes, right? And he had a great hatred, said he was enraged. He had a great hatred for Christianity. You know, he was blind to the fact that he was on the wrong side. You know, he believed in God, but he was blinded by his leaders, and he was blinded by his traditions. There's times if something we always thought was true, and then we find out that it's false, it's kind of hard to go back, because you know, a lot of times, us as human, we fail, and we don't like to admit we were wrong all that time. So we also find out that devout men, what is devout men? Devote.
Devote.
Yeah, what does devote mean? Devote.
It sounds like, it almost sounds like beating someone or like putting down to like a lower level. Is that what it means?
No, no. So it'd be like a loyal man or a righteous man. Devote. He's loyal. In this case, they're loyal to God. You know, they're devoted. You know, they're, nothing's going to stop them. So they're devout men carry off Stephen or Stephen to his burial. They are both right. It just depends on how you translate it. Stephen to his burial. No, I've always heard Stephen, and that's typically how people pronounce it, but my brother's name was spelled this, and technically, he goes by Steve, but technically it is Stephen.
Preston.
Huh?
Preston.
Preston? Preston. 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 Okay, I'm lost. All right, so he made a great lamentation over him. So what that means is there was a great mourning. They mourned for him, meaning they were sad. They're distressed about him dying. You know, the religious leaders at that day, they kind of had this rule as far as they forbid anybody to mourn a criminal. So if some criminal got to death, nobody could mourn over him because it was a righteous death. So what this showed is that they stood up in defiance of the high council. They stood up and they said, no, you guys were wrong. Stephen was a righteous man, and you guys were wrong, putting him to death. You know, Stephen's death sparked the persecution, and Saul supplied the leadership. And then also with that persecution, what it did is it scattered out people to other regions, right? It says it scattered them to other regions. In Acts 8, verse 4, Galen. Acts 8, 4. Acts 8, 4. Preaching the word. So if they're still preaching the word, it doesn't really sound like they were scared of the persecution, right? You see that? That you might think that because they were scattered, and I'm sure some may be scattered because they were scared, right? Persecution can be very scary. But these guys still preach the word, so they weren't scared. At least these guys were not scared of the persecution. So why did they scatter? Anybody, any thoughts? Right. No. Sounds good, right? Sounds good. In Matthew chapter 10... So it's to the left. Matthew chapter 10, verse 23. Elijah.
When they persecute you in the city, or flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
All right, so point blank, they are obeying God. He told them to do that. He told them to do that. You know, the word of God is like living water. And when I say that, has anybody ever seen, you know, like a stagnant pond? You know, water what doesn't move? What happens to that water? It gets very nasty, right? It starts smelling it. Everything around it is just dead because there's no movement. Right? For water to be living, it has to receive water, It has to maybe disperse water. You know, there has to be movement in that water for it to be living. You know, this persecution led God's living water, his and his followers, to spread the good news to the neighboring countries. You see that? It made them, you know, it kind of forced them, if you will, to spread out. In Romans 8, so it's to the right, Romans 8, if you're 8:28. Brendan?
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose.
So, has anybody here experienced growing pains? What they say, growing pains? Maybe? Okay, I get it. Short jokes. We're going there. He's my favorite. I guess doctors aren't sure if it's actually caused when you're growing, but it made sense when I was a kid. Or if it's just fatigued muscles. But regardless, when muscles get bigger, you have aches and pains. You know, so mooses, meeses, whatever you call that group.
Moose,
they're moosing.
Ain't no oxen with the oxen.
Regardless, sometimes the most useful lesson, unfortunately, can be painful. It can. You know, Jesus did not want Stephen to die. He did not want him to die. But he used that event to spread his word. So other people, because what happened, other people have a chance, a choice to have everlasting life. You know, at first it's hard to see. You know, because, you know, Stephen was a good guy. It's hard to see. But God will turn bad things into good. Was Saul a bad guy? You're getting ahead of me. Was Saul, the Saul I was just talking about, was he a bad guy from what I just told you?
Yes.
Yes, because, why? Because he persecuted people, right? He was a bully, right? Because they didn't believe what he believed, he bullied them. On his way to persecute more Christians, Saul was shown the light, right? And Saul became the Apostle Paul, which ends up writing more than one-third of the New Testament. So God takes this bad guy, well, it was truly bad, and turns him into a good guy. You know, I mean, he was a very bad guy, and he turned out to be a very good guy. Then we read a little bit further in Acts 8, 5 through 8. Cassiopeia. So Philip, he was one of the guys on that list with Stephen of the seven disciples. If you were here for 7, chapter 7, you'd know, you'd see this, but go back and read it. God did a lot through Philip. Samaritans were getting saved left and right. They were, you know, they were demon-possessed, they were getting healed, they were getting, you know, everything. You know, he was doing a great work. And because of that, there was a great joy in that whole city. Now, when we're reading the Bible, when we're going through the Bible, it is very helpful, if you want to get a bigger picture, to know the sense of the times and what people are feeling. Because I know some of you know, but how was the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews?
They hated each other very, very much.
They did hate each other extremely much. As far as they would go miles and miles out of their way just so that they wouldn't go on their land and have a chance of seeing a Samaritan. The Jews would do this. You know, so they hated each other. You know, the Spirit of God created a loving friendship of believers out of this hate that existed. So get this, he's preaching in Samaria. So those are the people the Jews hate. You know, God breaking down these walls of racism that were put up years and years ago. The Samaritan church showed that there's no room for hate. Jesus died for the sins of the whole, not part, but the whole world. That includes everybody, right? He didn't just die for some people, a certain class. He died for everybody. Now, in this city, as everybody's getting saved, there was this man named Simon. And Simon practiced sorcery. So, and he mazed the people in the city for years. Now, I'm sure he wasn't just doing simple card tricks. He made a name for himself, and it was a famous name. They even called him the Great Power of God. You know, more likely the people that you see in the Bible who are practicing sorcery is not good. It's black magic. They're most of them like demon-possessed. They're getting their powers from demons or in line with the devil. So it's not a good thing. It's kind of a, or not kind of, but it is a counterfeit of God's power. They always try to counterfeit God's power, showing that, oh, look, and I could do the same things, but they're never as powerful. God's power, it always overcomes them. You know, but the people in the city before Philip saw Simon as a big deal, right? He thought, oh, this guy, look at this guy. He has it all. He's powerful. But Philip came and led them to choose the one who they really should follow, the one with real power. And Simon saw this. Simon saw this, and it says that Simon believed. Right? He saw this, and he believed, and he got baptized along with everybody else. And then we see in Acts 8, 14 and 15... Haley?
Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
So, Peter and John, they're one of the big 12 disciples, right? They followed Jesus closely. They went to Samaria that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So the Samaritans receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, the same as the Jews, meaning that they had the same salvation as the Jews, which means that they're equal. So again, these two groups hating each other, you know, finding out that they're equal, right? They get the same salvation. God treats them the same. He has no preference over one over the other, so they're equal. So this is a big deal. And we'll see later in Acts, the Holy Spirit's going to the Gentiles, another group that both the other groups, they all three hated each other. You know, if you put these thing, the same group of people in a room, they'd try to kill each other. But since the Holy Spirit is choosing them and uniting them, you know, uniting all three to be in one body, you know, it's huge. You know, they would have fought each other, but now they're one accord with God. And then in Acts 8, 18 through 23. That's just 18. We'll split it up, right? We'll each get a couple of verses. It's kind of a lot. So we'll start with Andy.
Portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God.
Now.
Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that your passion poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity.
All right. Simon just doesn't really get it. He doesn't get it. Simon, you know, made his money by deceiving others. Remember I told him, made a big deal. So he was kind of the head honcho, right? Everybody looked up to him. He was probably getting money. That's probably how he made his living. Is by, oh, amazing people. Yet, he was the one, you know, he deceived people, yet he was the one what was still deceived. He sees God only for his power. So, the way Peter talks to him makes you think, does he really believe, or did he just, okay, Jesus, he was powerful, I get it, you know, he's all powerful, but he's thinking he can make a profit. The way Peter talked to him and just kind of was like, no, you guys, you don't get it. Your heart is, you know, perverse, right? So the way he's talking to him, you know that he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to make a profit by if I have this power. I'll give a little bit of money, but then I'll get people to pay me money by giving them Holy Spirit. But that's not how it works, you know. He didn't get that God has grace and love, you know, and it's a free gift, you know, if you truly believe. You know, unfortunately, there are still those Simons out there. You know, those people who say they're believers, but what they're looking for is just entitlement or money or power. You know, and we need to watch out for those people. You know, we might think that Peter was kind of talked to him rudely, but it's a big deal. You can't deceive people. You know, that's a big deal to God if people would go do that. But what's even worse, if you do get deceived, you know, unknowingly deceived. So we need to watch out for that. So Jesus, to recap, Jesus takes bad things and makes them good, right? You can make bad things good. Jesus will tear down hate, right? They could tear down hatred. And Jesus will warn us of sheep, our wolves in sheep's clothing, like those false Simons, those false teachers. In Jeremiah, verse 29, 11. Brandon? So God has a plan. God has a plan for everybody in this room, right? He has a plan. What we need to do is get on board with that plan. We need to let God shine his light onto our path, the path that we should go. Brandon, would you close this in prayer?